You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Now, maybe these days you're bored, you're anxious, maybe you're tired of not seeing the sun, though there's some sun out right now. Whatever it might be, more people in a tough time are finding themselves doing what's called emotional spending during the pandemic. That can mean making purchases big or small that are made on impulse, maybe without a lot of thought, and maybe even later when they arrive or you bring them home, you feel like you might have made a mistake. We're all in different financial situations right now, but the easy access to stuff online can be real and can be a temptation for just about everyone. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you found yourself doing more shopping online in the last year? And do you feel like your emotional state, whether it's boredom, anxiety, stress, has driven you to buy stuff on a whim or just to have a nice surprise arrive at your door later? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or tell us about it over at the Ideas Network Facebook page. Emily Guy Burkett is a personal finance blogger from Wauwatosa, author of several books, including End Financial Stress Now, Immediate Steps You Can Take to Improve Your Financial Outlook. Emily, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, Emily, we've talked to you on the show before about our emotions and our money. Do you see a lot of this emotional spending happening during the pandemic?
Oh, absolutely. There's a number of things going on. There's kind of just garden variety boredom in the same way that people are probably snacking more during the pandemic as well. If you're bored, it's really easy to navigate over to Amazon or, you know, your favorite retail site. That's a way to kind of stimulate yourself in the same way that you may be raiding the cookies when you're feeling a little bored. Then there's also kind of a deeper issue called moral licensing. That's something, it's also called self-licensing. That's something where when you have given something up, you kind of give yourself permission to do something else to make up for what you gave up. So for instance, if you've ever had a salad for lunch and then thought, okay, I can have a hot fudge sundae after dinner. it's also why we tend to underestimate how far apart 6 feet is when we're masked with friends, because we're already giving one thing up in our brains. We're kind of like, oh, so I'm being good in this way, so I can be a little bad in that way. And so with everything that we have all given up collectively over this past year, it's a lot easier for our brains to be like, oh, well, you deserve a little pick-me-up, you know, like that cute mug or, you know, putting a down payment on a vacation in a year and a half or, you know, whatever the purchase is that feels like it's going to give you a lift. It's a way of kind of feeling like you're making up for all that you've given up through the pandemic. And that's very tough because we're all dealing with things that are just unseen by anyone who's currently alive.
Now, we heard from Denise on Facebook, on the Ideas Network Facebook page. She writes, I absolutely have been ordering more fun little things for the family. With 3 out of 4 of us home all day, every day, the days run together. It gets monotonous. A package showing up on the porch is a nice little pick-me-up, even if it's something I bought for myself. Now, that doesn't seem, Emily, too harmful to me. How do we draw the line between, yeah, this is a nice little strategy, a pick-me-up strategy, to I'm buying too much stuff and spending too much money?
So I really want to say, if a little bit of shopping is going to help you feel a little happier, give you a pick me up during this very difficult time, go right ahead. You know, if this is not affecting your ability to buy groceries and keep a roof over your head, and it's just a little something, and in fact you're probably spending less elsewhere because you're not dining out or other things, go right ahead. There is nothing wrong with that. I mean, we are in an unprecedented situation. Where it starts to get pernicious is if you're spending money you can't afford. That's one thing. That's a very obvious one. But one that's a little less obvious is if you're saying to yourself, I deserve this. And I see the word deserve as being very dangerous. For one thing, because if you think that you deserve something, that means you could be undeserving of it. And that can be a very dangerous way of looking at things, because then you are doing that kind of self-licensing of like, oh, if I'm a good person, I deserve to have these things, but bad people are not deserving of these things. And that gets into a morality that doesn't need to be brought into this issue. So if you know, again, if you are intentionally planning on little pick-me-ups, that's great. And that can be a really good, mentally healthy way of dealing with this extraordinary situation. If you are thinking like, I've given up so much, I deserve to have a pick-me-up, that starts getting to be something that can be very mentally unhealthy and can lead to disordered financial behavior.
How do we check ourselves in that moment? Because especially for online shopping, it doesn't have to be premeditated. It's very easy to be impulsive. How do we, I don't know, pull our hand off the mouse and interrogate our motives a little bit in that moment?
So there's two ways that I think it's really important to do that. There's the immediate way, which is you put the cookies up on a high shelf so that the kids can't get it. Sometimes you need to do the metaphorical version of that for yourself so that you can't make impulse purchases. So for instance, Amazon is very, very kind in remembering your credit card information for you. Well, you can turn that off. That is not for your convenience. And if you make it so that when you're about to make an impulse purchase, you actually have to get up and find your wallet and bring it over. And if you find yourself going, man, I don't want to do all that, that tells you, oh, I don't really want this purchase. So that's a very little thing that's kind of like the metaphorical version of putting the junk food in a place you can't easily get to. So that's one side of it. The other side of it is starting to think about what kind of habits-based person you want to be. There's a habit expert named James Clear who talks about building identity-based habits. So if you've identified a problem of like, I don't like that I'm making these impulse purchases, I want to be saving money more than I'm spending it or anything like that, then you can decide for yourself, I'm going to be the sort of person who saves money. I'm going to be the sort of person who waits 24 hours before making a purchase. And what's great about using that kind of phrasing is that you give yourself the chance to prove to yourself that that's the sort of person you are with every possible purchase in front of you. So, and even if you do make an impulse purchase after you decide I'm going to be the sort of person who waits 24 hours, that doesn't mean you're not the sort of person who waits 24 hours. That just means you have another chance next time to wait 24 hours. And so it's a really great way of kind of reframing how you look at your purchases for a long term while hiding your credit card information from yourself is the short term solution that can really help.
Talking to Emily Guy Birkin, personal finance writer based in Wauwatosa, looking at the idea of emotional buying and how to avoid doing it, at least avoid doing it too much during the pandemic. You could join in if you have a story to share or a question or advice of your own. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And Emily, that idea of, you know, replacing the habit that we don't like with something else. Is there another way we can kind of reward ourselves for being good without having to spend money to do it? Can we? Because when I talk about to people about habits, like people who quit smoking, a lot of the success comes from finding something else to do instead in those moments when you would have smoked. How can we replace that emotional buying habit?
So something that I think is really important is to kind of sit down and think through what's something small that you did in the past week or month that gave you an outsized level of enjoyment. So it might be that you took a bath or a nap, or it could be that you went for a walk outside. It could be that you sat and read with your kids, something small that was outside of the ordinary. And the thing that's really important about doing that is that you can start thinking like when you've got that like itchy feeling like I'm bored, I want to check out, sites that, you know, often cause me to spend money. And it's not just retail sites. Places like Zillow and Pinterest can also cause spending binges. So when you start feeling that way, that like you're bored or you're sad or whatever it is, and you're looking for that pick-me-up, you can kind of think, oh, you know, taking a bath feels really good too, and it doesn't cost any money. Or calling my sister and chatting for 15 minutes also feels really good and doesn't cost any money. And so it's that little thing that gives you that kind of outsized level of benefits based on what it is you put into it. And so making that intentional choice to do something that feels good that doesn't cost money can start making that the habit.
a big twist in all of this, Emily. I've heard trends over the years again and again that we were moving from buying stuff to buying experiences that we often find more fulfilling, whether it's a trip to the restaurant or a bar or a show or a vacation. Well, all those things are mostly just off the table right now. How much did this shake up the way we thought about how to spend money to enjoy our lives?
It does make things a lot more difficult. And to come back to what the listener was saying about getting those little packages is really exciting. Scientists have determined that spending money on experiences, you get more enjoyment. And it also, small repeated experiences give you more enjoyment than one big experience. So meeting up with your best friends for a coffee once a week, every week for 6 weeks is going to be more enjoyable than going to a spa for 6 days with your best friend, because you get a chance to look forward to it over and over again and build off of it. And we can't do that now. We can't do either of those things now. And that makes it so difficult to kind of recreate those satisfying rituals that we had in our lives, those satisfying experiences. And oftentimes we'll then turn to shopping or purchases, because that is an experience. You know, you do have the experience of buying, the experience of receiving it, especially, you know, that there's that kind of joy of like, oh, there's an Amazon package. What's in it this time? And there's nothing wrong with that. If you're working from intention, it's always important to make sure that you are making intentional choices with your money and not simply reactive choices, so that you can, again, make those intentional choices to kind of recreate whatever you can of those satisfying experiences while we're in this unusual situation.
This all takes me back, Emily, to a message I've heard from you before. We want to think we're rational people, especially when it comes to our money, but emotion is going to be part of the picture. Just being aware of those emotions and how they can affect us, that's a big part of the story, right?
Absolutely. So often all of this goes under the surface, and some of it just happens because much of our lives are under the surface. I mean, how many times have you found yourself, finishing a bag of chips that you don't remember opening? but some of it is also because money is such a taboo subject. We don't realize how emotional it is because we don't talk about it. And so having these emotional reactions to money and also using money as a solution to an emotional problem is very, very common when we are not talking about money, not feeling comfortable sharing money successes or failures with others. And so we don't really know what to do or how to do things and kind of turn to this very, very imperfect tool over and over again in ways that can really harm our financial lives.
Emily, we'll leave it there. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's Emily Guy Birkin, personal finance blogger from Wauwatosa, author of several books, including End Financial Stress Now, Immediate Steps You Can Take to Improve Your Financial Outlook. She joined us to talk about a rise in emotional spending during the pandemic. Still time for you to weigh in on the conversation, share your thoughts, maybe experiences on the Ideas Network Facebook page.